Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your ministry. Amen. Here we are, the first Sunday, 2019. How many of you have already reformed? One of your first reforms in your life is to not put 2018 on your checks and other documents, right? Looking for that autofill, 2019. Here we are in a brand new year. And as we're looking at this brand new year, there's a couple things that I want to bring to your attention that we're doing as a church. One thing is that starting tomorrow, I mentioned this in my sermon last week, but barely mentioned it, just to see who was paying attention. But it's in my heart that I think that as a church that we need to gather together in a time of fasting and praying over the next 21 days. This means no food or water for the next 21 days. No, that's not what it means. It means take today and just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me lay aside? What is it you'd have me lay aside? Now, I'm on what's called basically a Daniel fast. When I enter a time of fasting, I usually take a couple days of just water only. And by the way, fasting is good for your body. Now, your body is going to mark it heavily against that. But it really is good for you. It's kind of like your parent says, I only did this because I love you, you know. And your body is going to be complaining stridently. I'm a human being just like the rest of you. And when I just contemplate fasting, if I'm just working and busy and miss a meal, no problem. But if I contemplate missing a meal on purpose, my body says, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's talk Pizza Hut. Let's talk Burger King. Let's talk. Look at that. There's a Cheddar's right there. Oh, look, you have that gift card. Well, you forgot about that Sonic gift card you had, and all of a sudden, all this bells and whistles are going off. And I was just thinking about fasting. And so I went through a time of 3 days of just water, praying and fasting, and then I'm going to be continuing on. But I'm asking you to join me as a church over these next 21 days. Let's start at 12:01 a.m. In fact, you'll already be asleep. And go through 11:59 p.m. Sunday, January 20th. And those that want to, we'll all meet at the church and celebrate coming off our fast, right? No, I'm kidding. Please strike that from your notes. We'll not do that. But let's take 21 days of fasting and just ask the Lord today, just begin preparing your heart. And maybe you're so distracted, I shouldn't have said this at the beginning of the sermon. The rest of the service, all you've been thinking about, oh, my Lord, please don't talk to me about pizza. But take these next 21 to get together as a church, a fasting. And then every day I'm going to send out an emphasis of prayer. And that'll help unify us in prayer. Now, that's one of the prayers I think that you can add in with the things that you're praying over. You can ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me fast about? What would you have me focus my prayer life towards these next 21 days? And then I'm going to come along and say, and by the way, here's where as a church we can all be on the same page today. And lift our hearts before the Lord in a unified prayer. How many of you know that prayer is powerful? Prayer by believing righteous people is powerful. And unified praying is powerful. And Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. So as we go into this, this will be a great discipline develop in your life. And there's going to be tremendous fruit from that. So I just want to encourage us to just commit ourselves these next 21 days of fasting and praying together, and we're going to hit different topics and items throughout the time. I'm in fact going to already give you, I will send it out in a text message, but I'm going to let you know right now that we're going to start Monday. Let your heart be in prayer. There are people who have just recently lost loved ones, and there are people in persistent long-term illness in our church. And I'm going to ask that you would just lift up. There's other people in your life that certainly welcome to pray for them. But in Vision Church, there is, as Brother Jim told me this morning, but there's a lot of people wrestling with sickness. It just seems like the devil's been kicking on some people. Whether it's the enemy directly or life in general, the fact is there's some people who need some prayer. And they need people who will intercede for them. And so we can do that. And we'll give you maybe some specific names of some families you can pray for that I'm aware of and that we as a church can lift up. And then we can know, hey, You know, on Monday, the first day of our fast, we were praying for those people who are walking through this valley of the shadow of death and those who are dealing with persistent illness that has them at their very, 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 very bottom level. And prayer changes things. Prayer changes things all the way around. So we're going to be doing that. So pay attention. And if you're not on our, if you're not on the text list, if you will send me a text, and my number is on business cards, it's on the documents of the church, it's public knowledge. If you'll just text me your name to my number, then I can add you on that church list, make sure you're getting that, and then everyone can be apprised of that. We'll try to also put it on our Facebook page at the same time. So we're going to try to cover as many bases as possible and do that. Another thing I want to draw your attention to, and you might take advantage of this at the end of the service, back in that part of the sanctuary at the back, there is a, looks like a treasure chest, and in front of that, some cut in half index cards and some pens. If there are some special needs that you want to list, it would be helpful if you put your name on it. If you don't feel comfortable putting your name on it, go ahead and just put that unspoken request there and write it out. And what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be looking through that and compiling. So I'm just letting you know that if it's on that card, some of that information is going to show up in a public sense of it, calling the people to prayer in the church. We're also going to take a concerted effort on Wednesday morning from our 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. prayer time to pray very specifically over those needs. And so you're going to have between seven to a dozen people praying on Wednesday morning. Do you believe that about a dozen people come out on Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. to pray for an hour? Amen? They don't just sip coffee and talk. They're allowed to sip coffee and pray. It's helpful. But we just take an hour of prayer. It's amazing. Jesus said, could you not wait for me with me for 1 hour? Now, I found a dozen people that can. And I'm just incredibly blessed as a pastor, and you're incredibly blessed as a church for those people who come together in prayer. So right back there is that prayer box. And then January, we need to remind, now I'm going to switch to what's up behind me. How many of you noticed that? Yeah, every tribe, let's all say that together. I have it even right here on my bracelet. Every tribe, every nation. Every tribe, every nation. And so we're focusing on, especially this month, this is January. It's the first month of our faith promise commitment. And we're making a commitment to touch everything from our doorstep all the way around the world. Isn't that awesome? And you can feel relieved. You only have to reach about 11,000 miles. Think about it. Because after that, you're heading back. So you just have to have a reach of two arms, 11,000 miles each from here. We can reach around the world. How many believe we can do that? We can do that in the Spirit, and we start here right at our doorstep and reach around the world with our missions emphasis. So as we're focused here on January, we're going to be talking about vision. We're going to talk about missions vision. And one of these Sundays, we're going to be able to hear from Brother Rex Bornman, who is here at our missions convention, and he'll be here to minister to us and fit right in with what we're doing as a missionary, as a church planner, as a longtime pastor, and as a coach to me and a friend to me and as a help to our staff. He's come alongside to help us and to focus on some things, help us see the forest for the trees and so on. We just need help, and I'm just telling you, I need help, need insight, need direction, and need to have an outside third party who can come in and help us and even ask those tough questions and uncomfortable questions so that we can become the church that Jesus is desiring us to become. Amen? We're always in the position of becoming, aren't we? Let's keep becoming. And then one day we'll become. You can think about that later. Those of you that like a pun, there you go. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, the first part here. I love the book of Revelation because it gives us a clear and insight into what's going on in heaven right now. It's called the revelation, which simply means the uncovering, to reveal, to make known. And some people, when you mention the book of Revelation, or we're going to have a series on the book of Revelation, I'm not announcing that here this morning, and we're not doing that. But I love the book of Revelation. I'd love to do a series on the book of Revelation, and we're going to cover the book of Revelation probably in our Tuesday night Bible study. Eventually, we're going to have to get there. I mean, we're started in Genesis. How many of you believe in about 25 years? We can get all the way to the back of the book. Yeah, we can get there. Somebody, especially for you, Pastor Doug, it'll take a while. It's the revealing, the making known. God wants us to know. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to know. He doesn't want us to be in the dark. He doesn't want us to be clueless. He doesn't want us to be afraid of this book. He doesn't want us to be afraid of the back of the book. He wants us to have open eyes, open hearts, and to come into knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. And even, are you ready for this? Knowing the future. You can know the future better than Gene Dixon ever believed or wanted to. Hello? You can know the future better than any soothsayer or fortune teller. You can know the future with a certainty that will take you into it with a boldness and a confidence. And so I just want us to focus here for the next few moments on Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And this is a scene around the throne. God is seated on the throne. There are four living creatures around the throne, 24 elders before the throne, seven burning lamps before the throne. And they, that's the elders, take up this new song and they say, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Wow. What a powerful scene. What a powerful passage. And I want us to just break that down into, we're going to go into four pieces, but the first verse, I have a kind of a surprise for you after the third point, is that, and that's another five. No, I'm kidding. And you're going to understand a little bit better as we go on why there's actually 4 points in the conclusion this morning, but it's better than seven, some of you might say. I know a pastor that did 26 points, one on each base of the alphabet. Letter of the alphabet, and everybody loved it. But he was also an auctioneer. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He really wasn't. Number one, the great expense. The great, not expanse, but expense. The great expense. Here's this chorus in heaven, and here's what they're singing. Here's what they're declaring. We heard the great songs of Christmas. This is not a continuation of that series either. But here we have a song being sung. We have a declaration being made in heaven. And they say, "You were slain." You were slain. How many of you know that Jesus died? He's the "you" here. He is the one who was called the Lamb of God. Didn't John the Baptist say that? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now this word "slain" is very important. This is not merely the word "murdered." Jesus said, "No man can take my life from me because I lay it down." And there's only one context in which Jesus would lay down his life, and that was as the Lamb of God. It wasn't going to be by a band of robbers along the road. It wasn't going to be by a hostile crowd in Nazareth who wanted to throw him off the brow of the hill. It wasn't going to be by the Pharisees or Sadducees that this was going to happen. It was going to have to be in the context of sacrifice. This idea of being slain is the same word that has to do with the idea of taking an animal and slaying it in the act of sacrifice. What a powerful word. You were slain. This is not an accidental, happenstantial death, but this is a purposeful laying down of life in the context of becoming the Lamb of God, found pure and holy by God, without a spot. And that His blood, having been shed, would not cover the sins of people or Israel or just Israel for 1 year, but instead would be the sacrifice made for one time in one place for all people everywhere. Give the Lord a hand clap. That is great news. You were slain. Notice they use the past tense. In heaven, they're aware of past, present, and future too. And in their perspective, they know, because this is John writing, having seen what's going on in heaven at his time right then, that was past tense. Why? Because Jesus was born and lived and died somewhere around the 30s, late 30s, in Jerusalem, and was raised again and ascended to the right hand of God. But he had been slain. This is a great expense. He was slain. It goes on to use this idea of money when it says, you purchased men for God. Now, some of you might feel bad that you've been purchased, because that immediately conjures up the idea of a slave market. But the fact of the matter is that all of humanity has been given over to the slavery of sin. For all has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. But listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who greatly predated the time of Christ, when he said, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way." Listen to the counsel of another prophet. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool." You purchased men for God. What was the purchase price? The life and death of Jesus Christ, the priceless one who came and inhabited human flesh and was then sacrificed and laid upon that cross, raised up in shame before men, and at all the handwriting of the ordinances against us, all of the sin that we have committed, confessed and unconfessed, was laid upon him, and he was suspended between the heavens and the earth there on that hill of Calvary, and upon him was laid all of my sin and all of your sin. And I'm here to tell you that if even I was the only person on the earth, he would have come for me, because so great is the love that constrains him and drives him, and so great is his desire that all would know the Father and be in a relationship with him, that we could say this, "Abba, Father." Isn't that powerful? That he would take you from the slave market, redeem you and pay for you the price of the blood of Jesus, and then not bring you in as a mere servant in his house, but instead adopt you as his very own and place you as a joint heir with his one and only beloved Son. I'm here to tell you, when God does stuff, he does it top shelf, he does it great, and he builds it to last. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Great expense. You purchase men for God. Great expense. Number two, a great extent. Everybody say extent. The great extent. Now, if you've been around me at any time at all, you know that I hope you'll pick up the hint that I just love the Bible. Okay? I love to study the Bible. I love to know the Word of God. And I'm struck with recurring themes that I see. And one of those things is the way that the Bible uses numbers. Now, the number four is very significant. It connects to the material creation. It connects to the earthly realm, the Eretz, the entire dimension, with four directions. What are they? North, south, east, and west. And some of you still don't know which is which. That's okay. You have GPS. Amen? Okay. Four seasons. Now, in Texas, those occur all in one day. But in other places on the planet, they have a very long winter. They have a somewhat short spring and summer and fall and back to winter. And others get to enjoy a more mild time, and so the seasons don't seem to change that much, and it almost seems that everything is constantly flowering, but the flowers and types of flowers change through that season. And then the people down under, well, they're going to the beach and sweating at Christmas and they're freezing to death on July 4th. You know, it just flips from the northern hemisphere. But everybody on the earth is aware that there are four seasons. We also understand that there are four stages of life. Childhood, youth, adult, and senior. Now, some people want to live child and youth forever. But alas, we have to realize there's stages to life. Inside, I'm still a youth, but I'm adulting reluctantly. And I am just certain that I'm not going to drift over into that place of senior citizen. But I increasingly get called pops and pawpaw and old man and things like that. And I'm shocked every time I hear it. Now, it's very interesting that there are four ways that this great extent is described. The great extent is from every tribe. You have purchased us for God from every tribe. A tribe is an offshoot. It's a race or a clan. It can be a small group of people which seem to branch off and go on their own way. They develop their own habits, their own culture, their own words, their own languages. They can be very similar to a people, but yet they have become a clan. Do you know that on the earth right now there are still undiscovered people groups that we could call tribes that have their own language and many of them not written? Jesus knows right where they are. And here's the good news. We're seeing something from in heaven. He says, you have purchased for God people out of every tribe. Jesus' blood was shed for people we've never encountered. People we still don't know their language and we're not quite sure where they are. They're almost a ghost people. They're a group. They're a clan. They're a tribe. Highly mobile. We're not quite sure where they're at in the Amazon basin or up in the mountains of Brazil. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus went to the cross and died for people that they didn't know then and we still don't know now. But He loves them so much and loves every person so much that He has called to Himself a person from every tribe. Every race, every clan, offshoot. Not only that, that's one. Number two, language. The language or a dialect used by a people distinct from others. Now, I'd like to expand that a little bit. How many of you know that you can speak English and still not understand somebody else? Huh? And if you've ever stood around a group of engineers, it'll leave you wondering. Stand around a group of chemical engineers. There are some people who only speak acronym. And you can understand them when you go to McDonald's. You can understand them in a normal family conversation. Then they find another one of their kind. And though they are speaking English, they begin to speak in a language we have no idea. A lot of Latin words. They're medical doctors. They're chemists. They're pathologists. They're phlebologists. Whoever they are. Educators. And they're standing there saying, hey, you know, did you see the T-close test? Yeah, I'm looking at maybe this. There's a STAR test, you know. And you talk to educators. And all of a sudden, they go into all these acronyms. And you're going, I see your lips moving, I understand you, but I have no idea what you're talking about. He wants to reach every person regardless of their language that they can speak. Not only that, but He wants to be presented in the terms of any language they speak. Do you know that Jesus, somebody can come to Christ as an engineer in terms of an engineer? Chemists can come to Jesus in the terms of a chemist. A physicist can come to Jesus in the terms of a physicist. He is the Lord of creation. There is no place. Medical science, no matter where it is, somebody can be reached in their language, in their culture, in their understanding, in what they're in the middle of. He can reveal Himself there, and He can reveal Himself as the one who died to purchase them from amongst every language group. Give Him a hand clap. How about this? People. Everybody say the word people. This is, we know this is a place in East Asia, Laos. But that word often appears in Scripture when it talks about these people. This is the people group of the same stock and language. The greater part gathered together anywhere. People. Do you know that there are people groups right around us? We have, obviously, Anglo-Americans. people groups. Speak English, share a culture. We have Hispanics who share a culture, speak a particular language. We have Swahili groups spoken around us with a different culture out of Africa. We have French-speaking Africans with a different culture, though they speak French. You have Cameroonese who either speak French or English. We could go around and we realize that just around within 5 miles of us, do you know that we have Tibetan monks? We have people who are Buddhist who have come from the East. We have these people groups right around us. They are people that they're foreign people, but they are in a group. They tend to get together. We have a large contingency. I see this every time I go to the hospital, especially John Peter Smith Hospital. There are three languages you see everywhere. How many of you know what they are? English, Spanish, and what's the third? Vietnamese. We have a tremendous number of Vietnamese people right here in the Metroplex. We may not be connected to them, but how many of you would like to get connected to them? There's some French-speaking Africans I'd like Vision Church to get connected with. There are some people who speak Ma. There are people who speak different dialects from out of their individual people groups. And you know what? In every one of those language and people groups, in every one of those cultural groups, Jesus can be exalted and made known, and He can redeem to Himself and present to the Father, purchased for God, people. His blood was shed on Calvary to purchase people from every people group. Amen. Not only that, but here's the fourth one, a nation. Here's a people group. They're a foreign people not worshiping God. In fact, this word that's listed here for nation was used by Paul to talk about Gentile Christians as well as just Gentiles in general. This was a group of people that was out there that probably didn't know anything about God or Jesus. I'm wondering, do you think there's people somewhere 11,000 miles away from us that fit that bill? But do you think there's people within a quarter mile of us that also fit that bill? There is a large contingency of people. We know the church, they say, is always within one generation from extinction. All it takes is one group not telling the next. That's all it takes. All it takes is silence. It's kind of like that little axiom that says, all it takes for evil men to flourish is for good men to do nothing. All you have to do is nothing, and there will be a generation that doesn't know about Jesus. All we have to do is nothing. Sit placidly by, stay within the enclave of our church, the sanctuary of His presence, and there will be an entire generation instantly springing up that has no concept of God, His love, Jesus as man and God, laying down His life, the purchase of sinners, for the fact that they are sinners. In fact, we have a whole world around us that believes they're okay and they don't need God. Sad. How many of you know we have some work to do? There is a large group, an ethnos out there. There's people groups out there. These are people, foreign people, because they're outside of the kingdom. They have no clue of God, no idea of God, and they're not worshiping God. But you know what? Jesus died for them. He died for every one of them so that He might purchase them for God and present them before God as a part of that group that Jesus can reach anywhere, He can touch anywhere, and He can save anywhere. Give the Lord a hand clap. Number three, great expense, great extent, and number three, great expectation. Some of us have learned to not get our expectations very high. Why? Because if you don't get them very high, then what? You'll not be disappointed. The higher your expectation, the higher the fall when you're let down. So some of us really try to manage our expectations. In fact, if people kind of get out of line in church getting too fanatical about Jesus and too absorbed in the Word of God, we're like, oh, you know, I remember when I was that way, but just kind of back off because there's going to be some disappointments coming your way. And then we become the wet blanket brigade. We feel like we need to bring them back to earth. Oh, no, please. Let's let some people burn and let's watch them. Let's join them. Let something spark again once anew within us. Let revival come into our spirit as we realize that there is something powerful that he's wanting to do. And what we see when we see this scene around the throne is we get an eye-opening experience to a great expectation. Listen to what they said. They said to be a priesthood to serve God. Out of every group. And by the way, if it says out of every group, who does it include? All of us. All of them. But it's stated four ways. Why? To make this point. Every earthly one. Everywhere they are within the physical universe, them. That's who he has. And what do we see it particularly? On the earth. On our globe. No matter where they are, no matter what culture they come from. And we can even talk subcultures like biker culture and all the other kinds of cultures around. Cowboy culture, Western culture, so on and so forth. He wants to see, I think God will allow chaps and a hat in heaven. I think he's going to allow people who love motorcycles, people of all kinds of stripes who have an affinity and things like that, that they are part of a subculture. He wants to have, be God with skin on, come into that culture, and he wants to rescue them from the slave marketplace. And he wants to change them. He wants to present them to, before God as a beautiful purchase by his blood. To be what? A kingdom. To be a kingdom. What? To be a kingdom. Just making sure I'm tracking. Yeah. To be a kingdom. To be a priesthood to serve God. To rule the entire earth. Wow. Wait a minute. He can take anybody on the earth, purchase them for God, and they're not called into a pecking order where they become street sweepers in the kingdom. No. He wants them to be part of a kingdom. That's the thing. When you're born again, folks, you come out of the kingdom of this world and you join the kingdom of his son. Amen? It's a whole better kingdom, by the way. It's way better run. Okay? To be a priesthood to serve God. Not only that, but what is a priesthood? What does a priest do? It's like Aaron. Now Melchizedek. Under Jesus' ministry, what do? You get to go and intercede and call people's name before the Lord and in remembrance. You get to go and fast and pray for people. And as you lay them before the Lord, angels are dispatched and they go on assignment and they begin fiddling around in their life to give them opportunity to have divine encounters so they can see and hear and experience the goodness and the glory of God and be given opportunity to know they've been purchased already if they'll just say, yes. Isn't that awesome? We're called into a kingdom. We're called to be a priesthood to serve God. We get to stand in the gap. Not only that, but we get to stand before the Lord. And you know where the priest got to stand? The priest got to stand somewhere that nobody else in Israel could do. They got to go in the holy place. In fact, the high priest got to go in the holiest place of all. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that happened, according to Matthew, is the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And when it was torn, what does that signify? God's coming out. Hello? He's not just the managed Shekinah glory behind the curtain that the high priest can go into once a year, but he has come out to be encountered by all men everywhere, speaking every language of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and culture, everywhere on the face of the earth. And we get to be his priests. And we get to go in to the holiest place of all. We get to go to the mercy seat. We get to go to the place of repentance and forgiveness. And every one of us in this room are entirely and perfectly equal in this sense. Every one of us can go into the holiest place of all. And we can call him Father. And we can be in fellowship and intimacy in his presence every day. And we can carry his holy presence upon us everywhere we go. And people get to experience him because he's not interested in dwelling over an Ark of the Covenant in a holy place. He's interested in dwelling in temples that are called the temples of the Holy Spirit. And he's interested in going to school and going to the office and going around the world and learning a language and impacting people and being a person that knows him. Give the Lord a hand clap. What a high calling. Every one of you. Every one of you, man or woman, doesn't matter. Child, it doesn't matter. There's no age limits. There's no gender distinctions. All, whosoever will may come. And He has such a great plan. He's brought us to this great extent, to this great expense, this great extent, and this great expectation. What are the expectations that God has for you? To be in His kingdom, to be a priesthood. And here's the ultimate one. How many of you like this one? To rule the entire earth. Now, how many of you believe that the principles of the kingdom of heaven do a better job on the whole earth than anything going? Huh? This book, if you live this book on the earth, it works. Right? Now just wait till Jesus is king. That's what the Bible teaches, by the way. Actual, literal kingdom on the earth, 1,000 years. And you know what? You and I are connected to Him. And we have places of authority on the earth. I'm telling you, there's going to be some cities that look awesome, smell good, and don't have any problems. Why? Because Jesus is the King in Jerusalem, and you have a place of authority and you know Him. Think about that. Can't be corrupted. What are they going to bribe you with? What are they going to threaten you with? Go ahead, blow it up. I can't be killed. Bribe me. What are you going to do? Give me asphalt? I live in a mansion. Are you kidding? What are you going to... You're going to cut my food supply off. You're going to lay a siege. And it's going to be no use. You can't do anything with these people. Can't bribe them. Can't kill them. Can't poison them. It doesn't matter. And so we just ought to submit to them. That's what's going to happen for 1,000 years. Because we're called to this great expectation to rule the entire earth. So when you see things going sideways, say, one of these days, I'll be in charge. I've kind of asked the Lord that He would give me a D9 Caterpillar with an infinite fuel supply, and He would just let me run over horribly built buildings for about 300 years. I have fun on a backhoe, folks, and I know how to tear things down with heavy equipment. And so it's like, Lord, see this strip in this city? This is horrible. Something needs to happen. Tornado, fire, earthquake. This needs to be swallowed into the ground. This could be much better. And so maybe if you see me on a golden D9 Caterpillar, you say, Pastor told us he kind of had an idea what he was going to do. Maybe the Lord would lay in your heart what He could raise you up in His kingdom so that as you live in the kingdom of Christ, you rule over the earth. What did He say? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He didn't say live forever in heaven. He said, inherit the earth. Take charge. Take dominion. I want to tell you, it's going to be awesome. Number 4, great expressions. I love this because we can move right into the conclusion as I make this point. I just want to read this passage with you and point out something. Not only do we see 4 things earlier, but now we get to see 7 things, and I pulled this out as a surprise right here at the end. Great expressions. Every tribe, every nation. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000s. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Angels know when something's perfectly full. And as they stand there, they declare a 7-fold blessing of the Lamb. And they say this is how worthy He is. He is, first of all power, all ability has been given to Him. All wealth, all riches have been given to Him. All wisdom, all understanding of every philosophical system has been given to Him. All strength, He can do anything. Honor, value, He will be valued finally. How many of you know they use His name in vain right now? They throw it in the mud and they connect it with some of the most horrible words in humanity's ever uttered. But I'm here to tell you there's coming a day when every person upon the earth is going to value Him like they value Him in heaven. He is worthy of all glory, to be esteemed, to be seen as number one and be awesome. And then of all praise, to be well spoken of, to be spoken of by us. Do you know what we can do even right now? Is that we can speak well of our Jesus. We may not have much money, much power, or authority, but we have a mouth. We have fingers on a keyboard. We have fingers on a text box. And we can speak. And in the middle of our speaking, what would happen if we would take to great expressions of Jesus? That doesn't mean in a shopping cart in the middle of the Walmart parking lot. That doesn't mean being linked with Westboro Baptist Church. That doesn't mean grabbing the mic off of the check stand if they still have them. They did in my day as a stalker. Instead of a wet mop clean up on aisle 7. Okay, all you Walmart shoppers, it's time for you to hear the glorious message of Jesus Christ. At the end of this, meet me on aisle 2 for an altar call. No. But when conversations and touching people with every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, amongst those people that you identify with, dress like, and move with, and understand, and even groove with, and understand the music and everything else, you get down with the culture, in the middle of all of that, surely we can exalt, lift up, and magnify the Lamb of God, who has purchased us from amongst every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And has now presented us to the Father. And the angels in heaven, they know what's going on. They know it's sevenfold. It's utterly, completely full. Power, wealth, wisdom, strength, glory, honor, and praise unto the Lamb. He's worthy. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I just want to challenge you with this before I pray for you. I'm here to challenge us at Vision Church to a great submission to the Great Commission. What did Jesus himself say? Therefore, all power, he says, and authority have been given unto me. He borrows two of those out of this list of seven. He says, all power and authority have been given unto me. Now, therefore, go. As you go into any place that you go in the world, your job market, the real market, the marketplace, the place where you buy and sell, the place where you congregate, the place of the people of your infinity, the place where you ride your motorcycles, the place where you climb your rocks and go out into nature, wherever it is you go and whatever it is that you do, as you go, make disciples of all nations. Tell them the good news. Speak something about my honor, my glory, what I've done. I'm the Lamb of God. I've purchased men out of darkness and into the light. A great submission to the Great Commission. I feel challenged to this. And I would just want to encourage us here at Vision Church, as we focus on this month as part of our mission's vision, that we would get this idea that I'm a priest of God. I'm a representative of God. I'm part of the kingdom now because I'm born again. And there's other people that don't know the great news. And that is, they're in the slave market. Some of them don't even know it. But somebody's paid the price. And they don't have to go into slavery. They can leave darkness, leave slavery and despair and despondency and debauchery. And they can come to life everlasting. Life abundant. Not only that, but they can come into a new great expectation. They may have high hopes, but it doesn't get any better than being part of the kingdom of God, ruling and reigning with Christ and serving as one of his priests. Folks, does it get any better? Does it get any better than that? No way. I'll answer that for you. It just doesn't get any better than that. There is no thrill upon this earth that can eclipse that reality of being a person, a people of God. So Lord, we bow before you. Plain vanilla people, we speak jargon and language. We understand acronyms. We move in circles of education. We move in circles of business. We move in circles of technicians. We move in circles of the medical field. We move in circles speaking different languages. Some of us are bilingual. Some of us teach English as a second language. Every one of us, Lord, we speak a language of construction, technology. We speak a language of entertainment and athletics. We have something that we do, something that we're good at, something that we have a group of people around us. Lord, I'm asking this morning a fresh submission to that great commission in us. Lord, that we would have a great submission to the great commission. A great submission to the great commission. Lord, would you just recommission us again this morning? That we would go out of this place every Sunday, not just this Sunday, with a sense of purpose and a destiny of representing you, speaking well of you, valuing you, honoring you with our words, and connecting to people who don't yet realize they've been purchased by God out of their unique situation and circumstance to represent that circumstance and situation before the throne so that the angels can see the wisdom, the love, the amazing context of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be struck with that once again, and help us to go with a greater submission to the great commission. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as you go, let the grace and the peace of Lord Jesus Christ be upon you, His presence be upon you, and no matter how adequate or inadequate you feel, go into a place of sharing and lifting up the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you as you go.